If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4action.com. That's www.tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Also, you can download past episodes of Inside Tennessee from the Tennessee Action website or from conservativenationradio.org. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We've got Kathy Henners from the Daily Roll Call blog. Kathy is a retired police officer from New York who moved to Tennessee a few years ago. And she's still involved with law enforcement. She's an instructor to the different agencies that hire her on. And her area of expertise is, you know, I guess you could say, the Islamist infiltration. She helps law enforcement agencies to know what to look for and how to identify, and as well as advising them on the different organizations that are out there. And that's her. We have Kathy for the first hour. And the second hour, we're going to have Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey. And we're going to talk about politics in Tennessee. So that's open-ended right there. We really don't have a script on that one, although I do have a few questions I'm going to ask him. Now, unless you've been living under a rock for the last few weeks, you've heard about what's going on in Egypt between the Muslim Brotherhood and the army, the Egyptian army. Apparently, the Egyptian army, the Egyptian people, many of them decided, hey, they did not want to be run by the Muslim Brotherhood. At least they have enough sense to get rid of them. Unfortunately, in this country, we have a commander-in-chief who saw fit to actually put them in a sensitive position, such as Department of Homeland Security. Unfortunately, it's not just at the federal level. We have a problem with the Muslim Brotherhood right here in Tennessee, for those of you who don't know. Well, without any further ado, we're going to pick up Kathy on the line here, and we're going to pick her brain a little bit tonight. We've got about an hour with her. Kathy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Dave. Thank you. How about you?
Doing fine. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Now, some of the listeners might not be as well-versed on this topic as others, so can you just give us a good little preview, a little quick Islam 101?
All right. Well, first thing I'd ask your listeners to do tonight is to grab a pen and some paper, because we're going to be talking about some organizations. We're going to be talking about some basic words, and then what to look for when you go into some of these smaller Middle Eastern-run stores and some of the frauds and scams that are prevalent in that community. Basically, Islam 101, we talk about the religion, what it is. A lot of folks don't believe that it is a religion because it has a holy book, doesn't necessarily make it so. So there are five pillars under Islam that they are required to do on a daily basis. And then we have how they worship and where they worship. We'll talk a little bit about the role of mosques and what a mosque or masjid is and is not. And then, again, we'll name some of the groups that are local, you know, specifically towards, you know, the Clarksville area, and it's statewide as well. So Islam basically is a religion that is pushing itself to the forefront. They believe in the global caliphate, as does the Muslim Brotherhood, whose mantra basically is one religion, one set of laws, and one political organization, if you will. So we have that. Sharia law is being implemented, and for those who don't know what Sharia law is, It means literally the path or the way. And it is a structure of laws that indicates every single thing that a good Muslim must do. They have to emulate the Prophet Muhammad, who is not their God. Allah is their God. But in order to be a good Muslim, they are required to do everything that Muhammad did. So that is what Sharia law is. It dictates everything from hygiene to finances to the way they perform sex. Every single thing in their life is dictated by Sharia law. So I think that's a pretty much basic rundown. And then you mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood, and a lot of people feel that that is an Egypt, Middle Eastern problem, when in fact this entire country has been enveloped by the Muslim Brotherhood, and specifically Middle Tennessee. Tennessee, the entire state has a problem, but Middle Tennessee is rampant right now with Muslim Brotherhood. And we'll talk about some of the organizations that are Muslim Brotherhood organizations. So,
Kathy, before we get to the organizations, I got a quick question for you. Why do you think Middle Tennessee is such a focus for the Muslim Brotherhood?
Being the buckle of the Bible Belt, if you will, pretty much if they can take this area, if they can institute their Sharia law and really grab a hold on our Constitution and change that, then they can do it anywhere in this country. This area here, which I had no idea when I moved here how entrenched it was, but it is because it's the buckle of the Bible Belt, unfortunately.
And you thought you were retiring in Tennessee.
I know. But that's okay. You know, it's a passion that, you know, sometimes I want to go bury my head, but that can't happen because once you know, you need to do what you need to do, and that's kind of spread the word and educate people.
Well, you're doing a great job of that. And let's get back to the MB. And you're not going to necessarily hear any of these organizations in Tennessee say, hey, we're a Muslim Brotherhood organization. But we know that they are. And can you go into that a little bit?
Sure. I think it was best described in the movie The Grand Deception. If anyone hasn't seen that movie, it is a must-see to understand exactly how they're infiltrating. But it was best described that they are like the Russian dolls. As you open the lid of each one, there's several layers. And that is pretty much how they operate. The directors and administrators of each one of these groups all of a sudden move to another organization, and they go back and forth, so no one ever really knows who they're working for and what organization really is to the forefront at this time. And one of the biggest ones that's coming to Tennessee that's nationwide is called CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And that used to be the Islamic Association of Palestine. So when it behooves them, they change their names. And this basically happened here in Middle Tennessee. A few years ago, they started out as the Muslim Rapid Response Team. And then from there, they kind of morphed into a group called the American Muslims Advisory Council and then the American Center for Outreach. And the thing with the American Center for Outreach, obviously that sounds like a very, you know, generic type company, you know, with no Muslim or Islamic name to it, just the American Center for Outreach. And, you know, when you have AMAC, which is the American Muslim Advisory Council, you hear the words advisory council, and you think, oh, you know, it's something, it's a good thing. However, they're advising the wrong groups. They are advising our law enforcement and our government. So it's kind of a different layer every time with the players who are involved and the groups that are involved. So you really have to keep up on it. And we can give you the names of these organizations to look for. Specifically, we're finding right now, this time of year, the groups that are going to be going into your schools to train your administrators and your teachers. So that's another set of groups that I wanted to throw out there this evening if we have time to let people know, you know, what's going on. I would like to just say on the school issue, getting off the subject for 1 second, in Brentwood, Tennessee, back in the beginning of August, a snack list went out to the third grade parents of the Sunset Elementary School. And the snack list was a very narrow list of the only items that your child could bring into school. And they were not allowed to bring anything that had any type pork product or pork byproduct. So they give a very specific list of items that your child could bring into school for snacks. The parents, luckily, are very aware there in Brentwood, very observant, and they turned that right back around. So the accommodations.
What was the school's response when the parents got up in arms about that? What did the school, that's not what we're doing, or did they just back down?
Yeah, they basically, they said this, it wasn't acceptable. It was just a specific, from what I understand, it was just the third grade, the third grade teachers and the principal of the school that thought this would be a good idea. And they used the premise that children had severe allergies to pork. Which, I've never heard of before. I know peanuts.
I've heard of peanuts. I've never heard of pork.
I would think
if there was a problem with allergic reaction with pork in the South, I think we would know with all the barbecues we have.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So you wouldn't be growing up in the South if you had that problem, but we love our bacon. Just so that people are aware that this is the sort of thing in the very beginning of school, these are the types of things that would be would come to the forefront because you're starting the new school year and these are the new rules. So parents really need to pay attention to what's coming home from their kids and listen to their kids, that any changes that are being made in the schools, because this is how they're coming in the back door, if you will.
Paying attention, and they've set it in stone and it becomes policy, and that's what they're counting on, people not paying any attention or not knowing to pay attention.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned AMAC a minute ago. I want to go back to that because when AMAC was formed, even when it was the Muslim Rapid Response Team, it actually had a little help from somebody in our state government, didn't it?
Yeah, it's actually had quite a bit of help between the governor and Mr. Gibbons, Bill Gibbons, the commissioner of the Tennessee Department of Homeland Security or Department of Public Safety. He elicited, solicited their help to train our law enforcement within this state, which I personally, being a law enforcement instructor, had great issue with that because our law enforcement is not being told the correct, things to learn and to understand about the culture and about the religion, but they are being indoctrinated. And I don't blame the patrol. I don't blame the lower grades, if you will. Like, I was patrol for 20 years, so I was just kind of a thug out in the street. But I blame the administrators and the elected officials that have to do with our law enforcement. And I understand when you're talking federal money, it's the last thing you want to do is have that money pulled because you're teaching something that they find sensitive.
Always goes back to the money, unfortunately.
And that's really unfortunate. But, we do a lot of training. We're hitting this country, and we're doing our training. But CARE is stepping in, trying to smack it down.
Kathy, I hate to cut you off, but I got to take a quick break,
okay.
And we will be right back.
All right.
The left can't stand the Second Amendment and Americans' right to keep and bear arms. Now there's something else they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Media with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, starting September 5th. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, coming in September to Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-716. That's 718-305-7176. And I'm on the line with Kathy Henners. And we are talking about the Islamist infiltration of Tennessee that's being helped by our state government. Back to you, Kathy.
Yeah, pretty much. And there was actually a very disturbing letter that had gone out probably, I think it's been a year and a half, maybe 2 years now, from Commissioner Gibbons to the Muslim community, and where he, the first line was Assalamu alaikum, which is the Muslim greeting, and then went on to say how he looked forward to the partnership with them to be able to train law enforcement. So this group has been legitimized by this government, by this administration, And this is a problem. You know, AMAC is affiliated with Muslim Brotherhood organizations. They have partnered with several Muslim Brotherhood organizations throughout the country to bring Islamic speakers bureaus to cities across the country. So they're a very dangerous group, and they have the same ideology and mentality as the Muslim Brotherhood. They support their ideology. So this is huge when you start looking at who's doing our training. And the same thing with our teachers and our administrators. And I would tell people the name of another group to be aware of is Connecting Cultures. They are the ones that came into Rutherford County schools two years ago, and did Arab diversity training or Arab cultural training. So if your child brings home, some papers that talk about diversity or interfaith or bullying, Arab culture, you know, look at those keywords and then find out who's doing this training, because they are hitting it very hard right now since it's the beginning of the new school year. So they're getting into these schools under the guise of Arab culture. And with that, there is no separation between culture and religion in their part of the world. So you aren't just training about culture, you're proselytizing about the religion of Islam. So the school thing is extremely important this time of year to be paying attention, and certainly learn these groups because they are statewide. They're very busy right now here in Middle Tennessee because of the Capitol, but they are statewide. So from Memphis to Knoxville, they're very active. They have branches in Memphis and Knoxville, so they are everywhere. And
let me jump in real quick and ask a question. So where's the ACLU in all this? I mean, if a teacher held a Christian prayer or a Jewish prayer in class, the ACLU would be all over it. But here you have a totalitarian religion, and they're propagating this garbage in our schools, and where's the ACLU? And these other liberal organizations like that.
Well, they are right next to these groups. As a matter of fact, we have been referring to them now as the Muslim, instead of the ACLU, we call it the Muslim ACLU.
Civil Liberties Union.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thanks. So they are standing firm with the Muslim community, and a big part of that is because they are playing the victim card, and they do that very, very well. As a matter of fact, there's a... Well, it's been renamed. It was the Million Muslim March, which is going to be happening in the state or in Washington D.C. on 9/11 of all dates. They have since changed it to the Million Americans Against Fear March because they were getting a lot of flack. On 9/11, which is totally inappropriate, and they will be demanding their rights. And the American Civil Liberties Union stands firmly believing that they have been a very oppressed group of people in this country. So they do stand with them, as does the First Amendment Center, which is located in Nashville. A lot of these First Amendment, right people are very leaning towards the Muslim community because they do portray the victim so well, unfortunately.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that a loose pulling manual?
Yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones such as the Android, iPhones, and others. So you can now download our podcast or listen to us live wherever you are, whenever you want. Same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we are talking to Kathy Henners. And, Kathy, I owe you an apology. I did not mean to hit the button that abruptly. I got the cursor too close, and next thing I knew, before I had a chance to say anything, the music started. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. Live radio.
Yeah. And I'm not a professional, so doing my best here. Anyway, you were talking, pretty much the ACLU and those other type groups have sided with the Muslims on this issue, making them out to be the victim. And that seems to be pretty much par for the course for, you know, that's what the left does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are, in Tennessee, are we dealing primarily with Sunnis? Are they Shias? Or are they a mix? And does it matter for, in the big picture, does it matter?
In the big picture, no, because they will all come together for the cause of Allah. However, the majority are Sunnis. You're talking a population of Kurds and Somalis. Somalis can be either Sunnis or Shiites, but I would say the majority of your Muslims are Sunni Muslims, and they fight. And, you know, when you look at Iran, how the Sunnis and Shiites, they kill each other over things, over wars and whatnot, but they will come together for the right cause, and they do believe that Allah obviously is the cause. The global caliphate. So they do work together. But the population that we have, the immigrant population that's here, you know, we have probably 6 mosques now right around the center of Nashville. And I can only find one in the Clarksville, Dover area. You know, they're laying pretty low out that way. But you do have, of course, you do have Islamville in Dover. But yeah, you're predominantly, your immigrants coming in here are predominantly Sunnis.
Right. Now, the compound in Dover that I know of, they're all black Americans. None of them are that I've seen from any other country. And I believe most of them are originally from up north. You see a lot of Michigan plates, I think maybe some New York plates on the vehicles at times. Of course, they have Tennessee plates as well, but that's what I've seen since I've been in this area. But I don't know, like I say, I've never seen anybody that appeared to be from out of the country. And I don't know if that's part of the prison population that, you know, we have a problem with in our prisons where they're converting so many people to Islam, especially in the black community.
Yes, and they refer to themselves as reverts, actually, because they believe that everyone was born a Muslim and then goes off to become an apostate if they join another religion, and eventually they feel will come back to the religion of Islam. Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, they are the population of Muslims in those two cities are just enormous. That particular city is just Sharia law is everywhere. In your Minneapolis area, we have, I call it Somaliapolis, because it's just the second largest population of Somalis outside of Somalia. And unfortunately, Nashville is starting to become, with the immigrant population here, we're starting to become pretty large in numbers as well. And there's different groups that are responsible for bringing them in here, but it's very difficult because, you know, the taxpayers are picking up the dime for the immigrants to come into this country and then speak out against the country. They don't believe in our Constitution. They're not allowed to believe in our Constitution. It's a man-made law. So they are not allowed to abide by man-made law. So it's a very difficult thing to watch happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a call real quick. We've got Kurt on the line. Kurt, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Dave, how about yourself?
All right.
Kathy, how are you?
Hi, Kurt. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm just ducky, thank you.
All right. Okay. I guess, Dave, you wanted to see if I had a question.
Yeah.
Kind of did, Kathy. I mean, you are so on top of this situation here. I'm almost reluctant to ask you this, but I think I will.
Okay.
I guess when you work, do you hook up with any other people in the same mindset and the same field of endeavor that you're involved in here in the state, or do you prefer to work kind of alone on your own hook or what?
I do a lot by myself, but yes, I do reach out to other organizations and groups, and
okay.
You know, we'll help them do research, or we go back and forth with research. So yeah, I'll do, you know, whatever
okay.
it takes to get word okay. out. I'll do what it takes.
I guess you're probably already aware of who Dr. Bill Warner is, right?
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I wanted to walk softly into that.
Very dear friend. I consider Dr. Bill a very
good.
Dear friend. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I'm so glad to know that. And have you met Colonel Jim Harding?
U.S. No.
Air Force retired.
No, sir. I have not had that pleasure yet.
When you have the opportunity, get Dave to hook you up with him. He's a good friend of Dave. And, well, there's a little circle of us, I guess you'd say, that get together. I highly recommend you communicate at some point in time with the colonel. I think you'll enjoy his personality, if nothing else, as he's the 20th most decorated soldier all times,
wow.
all services. He flew around 500 prop aircraft missions in Vietnam.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
That should give you an overview on that. It's good to know that you're doing what you are, and I just want to see everyone get as much help as they need and give as much help as they can in this cause. How much attention are you paying or have you paid to the madrasa schools and the Gulen movement?
I'm familiar with that. Again, you know, that's something else that's going unchecked in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the charter schools and the Gulen schools, they're all related. And, you know, this is huge because, again, we're talking about the children. And then that also goes back to the Common Core, which, you know, is the rage right now, as it should be, because there is an Islamic influence, you know, threaded throughout Common Core as well. You talk about the school books. Pearson Publishing is owned by, they have, I believe it's Libya, has 27% stock in Pearson textbooks. So there's, you know, huge influence in that particular textbook. So, but there's a lot of people working on that, and they are doing a fantastic job shutting down these school boards and these state, you know, review boards for the textbooks. And I think it's just a matter of, you know what, if you're going to get the textbook, our kids aren't going to look at it because we're going to take it, we're going to leave it home, and our kids aren't going to use these textbooks. So I think it's going to have to be strength in number and almost a revolution in the schools where we're not going to put up with this. You know, some of the things that are being said in these textbooks are disgusting. So, but, yeah, the charter schools and Gulen schools, you know, people need to wake up. The Gulen schools with the Turkey, you know, with the Turks in there, it's just, it's really not very good. So, but I definitely appreciate you. And I'd love to meet the colonel. I would be honored to meet the colonel.
When you get the opportunity, you will not be disappointed.
I'm sure I won't be. I haven't been disappointed with anybody in the same mindset that I've met yet. So we're all slightly crazy, so how could I, you know?
It's funny how that works out, you know?
Yeah, I know. And, you know,
go ahead. I was just going to say, there was a group of us and another group. We're on the same page here. but it's known by a different name, got together, and we were all strangers when we gathered in a setting in another town in Middle Tennessee, and we had a little get-together, kind of a picnic deal, and I don't know, around the middle of the afternoon, we're sitting there at the table, and this one lady from Texas, I'd never laid eyes on her before, and another one from Nashville, who, by the way, was an Oriental lady who happened to be married to a guy that I knew. And we're talking and about the day, and this lady from Texas, you know, she says, this is really weird. So we're sitting here, and she said, we're all strangers, or we're this morning. She said, but it doesn't feel like we're strangers. And she just kind of let it trail off, and I said, no, you're right. It feels like a family reunion.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember that so well. But that's, and I've seen this scenario played out several times, and I'm eating up airtime, and I know it. I need to shut up. So you get off what you're doing here.
Everything you're saying is worth hearing, but I'm up against a hard break here. So I'm going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio.
Okay.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Let's assume that if you're listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here, ConservativeNationMedia.com. Just go to our website, ConservativeNationMedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. This will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to ConservativeNationMedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And we are on the line with Kathy Henners, and we are talking about the Islamist infiltration of our state. Kathy, there's a few terms here that some people might not be familiar with, and it might be a good idea to go over them a little bit. Sharia, Dawa, Ummah, can you talk about those a little bit?
But would be the proselytizing of Islam, to spread Islam. And that is the duty that every Muslim has in order for there to be a global caliphate. They have to proselytize to everyone to have them become converts or reverts. So dawah is extremely important to a Muslim, and they do it in a variety of ways, such as giving you leaflets when you're walking. You know, maybe they'll be out in front of a store. They hand leaflets out about Islam, going into the schools, going. They won't go into the churches, but they'll have interfaith forums. So there's a lot of different ways that they perform dawah. Ummah. UMMAH is the community. Usually wherever there's a masjid or a mosque, there will be a community around that area. More and more we're finding that the neighborhoods surrounding mosques are becoming more and more Muslim because it's very important for them to be able to do the call to prayer, which is basically done throughout the community on a very loud speaker, if you will, throughout the community, so that five times a day people are reminded that they need to come to the mosque. So that
now, let me ask you something about that. Is that going on in Tennessee right now? Is that going on in Murfreesboro?
I don't think it's happening just yet in Murfreesboro, but things are moving along there. You know, they just the minaret was just placed that stands several hundred feet above, you know, the structure itself. So I believe it's probably only a matter of time before you'll start hearing the call to prayer throughout Murfreesboro, unfortunately. So
Very unfortunate. I was in Iraq in OIF-1, and I'll tell you what, that sound after being there for a little while, you just got to where you hated to hear it. You just flat out, you wanted to find the nearest AT-4 and just shut that thing down.
Didn't you?
Really, it really just got kidding. On your nerves after a while.
That's funny. But yeah, it's unfortunate. A lot of the cities, actually right down the street from my particular station, my station house, they would do the call to prayer. And we always thought probably it was because it was, you know, by the police station that they did that. But it's just a reminder, too, to the communities around them that they are here. So they want you to know that. So so you said Sharia, which we touched on earlier, and then with Dawah and Ummah. I think a lot of people get confused with Jihad. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's just an inner struggle. It's to be a good Muslim. Well, yes, it is. Actually, it is their inner struggle to be the best Muslim that they can possibly be. However, there's also another side to that. A lot of scholars believe that there is a sixth pillar called jihad, and that is holy war. And, you know, if that has to be waged to get people to convert, that is what Muhammad did in the Medina years, then that's what they have to do. So jihad does mean holy war as well. I think another big one, and this is something that people can look for when they start going to the grocery store, is something called halal, H-A-L-A-L, which means permissible in Arabic. And that is anything that they can eat that it would be like kosher, like a kosher food. Only halal goes much further than just food products. It would be, you know, your clothing, different stores that you can shop in, and things like that. So actually now what I've been doing, I'm driving my poor husband crazy, is when I go grocery shopping, I like to look at the products to see if, in fact, they are halal. It's not bad enough when I go into Walmart and look at the toys, because some of the toys are really saying some weird things these days. But now it's in the grocery store, so start looking for halal products. I know that Whole Foods is carrying a whole brand called Saffron Brand that is halal.
Really?
Yes. So
did Campbell's do it for a while? Didn't Campbell's have some stuff
Campbell's
out for
Canada
a while?
Campbell's in Canada was doing it. Yeah, I've never seen it here. Pepsi was another product. Tom's Toothpaste was another product. There was a list of products. A lot of them were coming from Canada. And I think the biggest one that got themselves in trouble, actually, was a few years ago. It was Butterball Turkeys. They made the mistake of putting halal on the turkeys. And I believe they got more phone calls about halal than about how to cook a turkey that particular Thanksgiving. So they removed that fairly quickly. But, you know, you look at the product, and Costco was carrying halal chicken. I have not seen any Costco in our area that was doing that, but some of the larger ones throughout the country were carrying halal chicken. And just, you know what, just go up to the butcher and ask them if they carry halal chicken. Because it's just a different way of slaughtering the animal that we might not approve of. And then also, you know, they're repeating, reciting Islamic prayers over that animal. So, you know, do you necessarily want to be eating halal products? I don't know. Another one is called a dhimmi, which I think people probably have heard this one a lot. That's D-H-I-M-M-I, which is basically a non-Muslim residing in a predominantly Muslim area. So we aren't so much dhimmis yet, but we are, as Dr. Bill would say, kafirs or kafirs. I say kafirs, he says kafirs, which also means an infidel or a non-believer. So
and a
we
proud
are
infidel at that.
That is correct, yes. Yes, and I've got the T-shirt, infidel, with, you know, everything else on it. So two more words, if I can, real quick. Ikhwan means brotherhood, and there is the official Muslim Brotherhood website in America called ikhwanweb.com, and you can go to that if you choose to. It doesn't blow up your computer. You know, the NSA might be looking at you now if you go on that site, but it's a wealth of information because they do say what's going on here in America. And then another word that Dr. Bill likes to say is tequila or tekaya. A lot of people say tequila, but it is the art of deception, and that is extremely important for people to understand that there is a doctrine that allows them to lie. If it's for the furtherance of Islam, they are allowed to deceive and to lie. So that's just another one of my words in this lesson. Did you have any other words?
Well, you've got inshallah. Am I saying
inshallah?
Inshallah?
Yes. You will hear a Muslim say that. It's like, I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. It means God willing. So everything would be, you know, phrased that way. They may say mashallah if something that has already occurred. Like an example would be someone just gave birth to a baby. And you wish good health, masha'Allah. But insha'Allah is something that is very prevalent. You know, I'll see you tomorrow, insha'Allah. So they probably have heard that a lot.
And now, I know you covered Ummah. Did you cover Jummah?
Jummah, yes. Jummah is Friday prayer, and that usually goes from about noontime to about 2:30 in the afternoon. And that is the largest gathering at the mosque. So you may see, you know, the mosque's full on a Friday afternoon, and that is exactly what's happening. That is the point, too, depending on who the speaker is or who your imam is, and the imam is the head of the mosque. Basically, their sermons will be very telling because that's where the radicalization sermons start coming out, is on Friday prayer. Good luck if you can get into one and listen to one. Please let me know. but there's a lot of radicalization during the Jummah prayers on Fridays. So I think there was one other one. The haram,
H-R-A-M.
Yes. That is opposite of halal. It is illegal. So it's just the opposite of halal. But, you know, a lot of these little stores, the Middle Eastern-run stores, gas stations, particularly your tobacco stores, your discount tobacco stores, they may even advertise halal products there.
I want to get into the stores here in just a second, real quick. I got to do a quick read here. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives, outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com or TradAm, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. Hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal-free website, which makes it a great website. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Kathy Henners about the Islamist infiltration of our great state of Tennessee. Before I interrupted you there, Kathy, we were talking about the Middle Eastern stores in Tennessee, and I just want to say, you know, a lot of people, when you think, okay, Middle Eastern stores, yeah, they probably got some in Nashville, maybe Memphis, maybe Knoxville. Hey, I'm here to tell you that between here, where I live, and Jackson, Tennessee, there are Middle Eastern stores or stores, little country stores owned by Muslims. I've seen it. It shocked me, but it's there. So I'll turn it back over to you to fill it in.
Yeah, it isn't just a city problem, and they know that. And a lot of people, and it depends on your way of thinking, but a lot of people believe that all these stores are being operated throughout different small pockets. So when there is a call for them to basically come out, they will be in every area of every county, of every city, of every state. But other than that, it's a great way for them to make money, a great way for them to fund their particular choice of organizations. A lot of people will hear us talk about Hamas and Hezbollah and say, oh, no, that's over in the Middle East. That's an Israel problem, you know, with Hamas and Hezbollah and stuff. Their headquarters are in Chicago, Illinois. Hamas and Hezbollah both have headquarters here in this country. So,
right,
you know,
down below Obama's office, right? I think Obama has
yeah,
a home
probably.
Down the street.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's so prevalent here, and until people understand that we have, the terrorists living in this country, life goes on. I would not support these small stores if I had, a choice. However, if you're going to go into these stores, you need to be mindful of some of the things that are red flags or indicators that there may be a problem. Certainly, for every little thing that you see, I'm not, encouraging you to call law enforcement, but over a period of time, as you enter the stores and you start to say, oh, this makes sense, you need to act on that. And some of the things that you should be looking for, and specifically the tobacco stores, this is where the largest funding comes from, the movement of large cases of cigarettes. They move them from smaller taxed states to the larger tax states. And, a lot of them won't have the tax stamp on them, which is illegal. But if you go into some of these stores and you see an odd number of boxes of cartons of cigarettes being taken out by solo individuals, that's probably something you want to notify someone of, because they are moving cigarettes and they make millions of dollars a year doing so. And that's basically in your small tobacco stores. You want to look for products that have stickers that don't match the name of the store. Just in Columbia last week when I was giving this presentation, a woman said that one of the products there had, I think she said, if I remember right, it was a Walmart sticker. So, if you're walking into, let's say the Harem store and he's got Walmart stickers or CVS or, Walgreens, why? Why does he have those products? And a lot of times they'll utilize the youth in the community to go and shoplift those items and bring them back to the store. Baby formula is a real big problem being resold in these smaller stores. A lot of times they're the only store in the game. They may be out in the middle of nowhere and people depend on those products. So they know that they can get their money from these folks, so they bring in products that they don't necessarily care are good or not. So baby formula is big. Cigarettes are big. Again, so look for price stickers that don't match the name of the store. Your expired products. Some of these, stores are carrying products. If it's chocolate and it's white and it's not white chocolate, it's obviously not something you want to buy. Yeah, fairly empty shelves and all the goods up to the front of the store. If they're running a storefront mosque or they're holding meetings, which they do in these stores, then they don't want you towards the back of the store. Another woman has said to me that the bathroom is always out at this one particular gas station, and they're not allowed to go back there. And I said, well, you need to go back there and see what's back there. But it's probably either the mosque or at different times during the day. If they're funding terrorists, they will have meetings. And meetings will consist generally of all men coming and going throughout the day as well. Another one is odors that are not common to convenience stores. So if you walk into one, it should be smelling like bread or junk food, but it shouldn't be smelling like Clorox or acetone or, a chemical that may be used in bomb making. It's kind of interesting, too, because crystal meth labs also use a lot of the same products that the bomb makers do as well. So if you walk into one of these stores and you smell one of those, I would get out and notify.
Yeah.
I can tell you they're not using Clorox because they're clean, that's for sure.
No. Anybody that's been in the Middle East can confirm that.
Yeah, you've been there, so you know. Anything that would be considered like used merchandise, we used to have that one a lot, where they will just sell any type of garbage they can get their hands on, whether it's used or not used, they will sell that merchandise. So if it's a Rolex and it's only $30, you know you're not getting a proper Rolex. Another really big one would be the charity solicitation boxes, and this one is really big and really important. If you go into a lot of these stores, including some of the gas stations, now if they're owned by, you know, larger subsidiaries or larger companies, American companies, and they're just running the store is one thing, but if they own it, then you've got another issue if you see solicitation boxes. And they can say anything from Somali relief to Pakistan flood relief. If they have a donation box with a heart on it, it could be indicative of a foundation called Kind Heart, which was shut down years ago in this country's largest terrorism financing case. Kind Heart was shut down. But
part of the Holy Land trial? That's what Kind Heart was involved in there?
Yes, the Holy Land Foundation trial, yes. So you have to look at these solicitation boxes. Now, they might not make much money, but every dime counts in these causes. One of the funniest scams I think that I've seen is a coupon scam. So if you walk in and you see the guy behind the counter actually cutting coupons, or there's somebody in the back room and they're cutting coupons, or there's newspapers all over the place, they actually register with the National Coupon Clearinghouse and they turn those coupons in. It doesn't matter if they sell the product, because they don't have investigators going out there to see if they sell the product. So all they have to do basically is turn those coupons in, and they are reimbursed. They get the check that comes back to them in a period of time, and boom, there you go. They've got hundreds of dollars worth of coupons. And that is like the stupidest, silliest, easiest scam, but that one was pretty prevalent in some of the areas that I worked in.
Now, do you know of any Tennessee law enforcement agents or agencies that have made bust on stores for doing these type things? Are you aware of any? Is that something that's been happening?
I think the cigarette scam is probably, they've probably done some work on that. And then the spice, bath salts and incenses, I believe that they probably have done a lot of those. And if you walk into one of these stores, a lot of these stores attract kids, because they'll sell them something called loosies, which is just loose cigarettes out of the register. They usually get $1 for each cigarette, but that's illegal. You know, breaking up the cigarette packs is illegal like that. So they're popular with kids, and they've made spice, what's called spice, illegal. But there are several different packages. It may say spice on them. It may say Mojo. It may say K2, Black Mamba. They sell them either as incense or tea, and they contain some sort of mixture of that product, but also with other products that would cause, instant high or euphoria. So they're very, very dangerous. So I would say probably throughout the state, law enforcement has had that experience as well. So, but anything like that certainly is illegal. We just heard about Trayvon Martin buying the Arizona watermelon tea and Skittles, and then your Robitussin. These are all products. I mean, these kids, just they'll find anything. But these are products that you want to really be aware of if they're being sold in most of these stores. You know, if you're in a store and you see a kid buying this stuff, then you've got a clue what's going on. So that's another problem there. And then also another big one would be no trash receptacles. If they are not putting their trash within their store, they're using somebody else's, and there's a reason for that. When I do teach law enforcement, I talk about garbology, which is one of my favorite things. Just throw some gloves on and go through somebody's garbage, because you will learn. I mean, I don't expect anybody to do that, but law enforcement, actually. But, you know, garbage is very telling. It tells where a person has been and what they've done throughout the course of, you know, a day or 2 days or whatever. So if they don't have a trash receptacle within that store behind the counter or somewhere in there, then what are they doing with their garbage? And most times it's taken to a city facility or somebody else's dumpster. So there could be problems, with that as well. So
a few minutes left here before we're going to have to go. But You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Kathy Henners. I've got a question for you. The law enforcement training that you do, have you done much in Tennessee, or has it been mostly other states?
It's been other states. And it's really hard to make someone understand that it's not an anti-Muslim, as CARE is labeling it. It is just showing about the frauds that are being perpetrated in the community. We talk about how to understand the name structure. Sure, there is some stuff about radicals, but that's too bad because there are Islamic radicals in this country. So, no, it's pretty much in other states. CARE has, done some research on me. Therefore, I don't give out notebooks anymore. I used to give out great handbooks, that were great guides for law enforcement. But we don't necessarily do that. We have other ways of giving them the information. But, I've just said, if we can't do formal training, if someone's worried about the formal in-service training, give me a garage with a group of guys and we'll train them. And that's what it's coming down to, unfortunately. That's how we're going to have to train our law enforcement. If somebody's willing to do it, then let's do it. But, I'm offering free training for anybody that's willing to take it. So, and that pretty much goes to anybody.
I would think that the person that would need training first, which they're probably not willing to do, would be Bill Gibbons. And then what is the guy's name, Cotter, James Cotter? Is that the one who was helped form AMAC and the Forerunner, the Muslim Response Team? And so, of course, if your top guys in your state are uninformed, willingly ignorant, whatever the case might be, it does have an effect at the lower levels in terms of police agencies willing to be trained on these issues and willing to, and here's the thing. In the Holy Land trial, it laid out what the Muslim Brotherhood's plan, not just for America, but for the world was. They laid it out there. And, that's not something that we came up with. That's something that was presented in a federal court. And they didn't deny. Their plan was laid out there. It says what they're here to do. And I think where we run into problems, too, is people, when you say that they're radical or they're Islamist or they're terrorists or they're helping terrorism, I think everybody believes you're saying, well, this person is going to show up one day and pull a cord and blow everybody up. And that's not necessarily what we're saying, although that is the method that some of them use. But they have the same ideology. They have the same goal. They have the same goal as Al Qaeda. Bottom line.
Yes.
Their goal is no different. Their methods might be some places depending on how strong they are, but the goal is the same.
And Gaddafi said it best. He said that they don't need weapons and bombs and guns. They will take over from within. And this is how, if you read the Muslim Brotherhood manifesto, which I have, if anybody is interested, they can email me on dailyrollcall.com. I have that document. It was put into evidence at that trial, so it is a good document. It is their playbook, and they have never, ever disputed what's in that. So usually when they're quiet, it's something true, and we've hit a nerve. So if anybody is interested in that document, email me, and I will send it to them. I will scan it to them however, it needs to go. Just so people can understand, really what their goal is and how far. We've got Al Jazeera launching tomorrow here in Nashville.
In the buckle of the Bible Belt, we have Al Jazeera kicking off a radio station. That's just flat out disgraceful. I thought they were having some trouble getting funding or getting advertisers. But whoever is advertising on there, they need to hear from us about that they would be willing to go on Al Jazeera. That's ridiculous. That's traitors.
I will say that the other day I did state that Hershey's was the number one sponsor. They have pulled their ads from Al Jazeera. So the number one, as far as we know right now, would be Pfizer Drugs, Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. The makers of like Advil and things like that. So, they're your sponsors right now. But, just go for the groups that are forming to ask them, these different companies to, pull out. They've got like 88 different companies that have pulled their ads from Al Jazeera. So that's what we need to do. Actually, we had a Channel 4 weekend news anchorman, Jonathan Martin. I was so disappointed because he pulled out of WSMV and he went to Al Jazeera. So I guess money talks. Money's the bottom line, unfortunately.
Wow, that is sad. You know, I'm hoping that more people in our state and our country pull their head out of the sand while they still can. You know, and especially here in Tennessee. And it's a shame that there's so much effort by their side to get a foothold here, and so many people on our side just seem oblivious. But, Kathy, hey, we're out of time. I really appreciate you coming on. Great information, and hope to have you back on. Probably will within the next few weeks. Matter of fact, you'll be in Stewart County this Thursday night at the Visitor Center for the Stewart County Tea Party, and we're looking forward to it. Hey, thanks again. I got to let you go. Take care.
All right, thanks, Dave. Okay.
Listeners, don't go away out there. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree. Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And our next guest is Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey. He was kind enough to come on the show, and we're just going to talk a little bit of Tennessee politics for the next hour. Governor, appreciate you coming on.
Great to be here. Enjoy it.
Well, we're glad to have you. You got some good news in the newspaper, I think it was today, in terms of the financial situation in Tennessee.
Actually, yes. Everything seems to be going quite well, to be perfectly honest. We've done very well in Tennessee at balancing our budget when obviously the federal government is not. It seems like every day or every week or so, or every at least once a month, we've been some kind of accolades from some rating agency or some business magazine group or something, the way we're running the state of Tennessee physically. And I'm proud of that. Not only we end the budget year with a surplus, a slight surplus of $42 million, but we are on top of that, we're the lowest debt state in the nation. That's something I'm very proud of, that if the Fitch rating company that rates us for our bond ratings said that Tennessee citizens owe less money per capita than any state in the nation. Dave, that's just great news.
That is great. That is great. Yeah, we would hope that the federal government could take a cue from that.
Good luck on that one. When you borrow $1.4 trillion more than you take in each year, I don't see how that is sustainable. I've got three grandkids now. They're 27 months, 9 months, 4 months, and there is no way that my grandchildren can have the country grow up in that I grew up in if we continue to borrow money like that. And I know that we have some very good congressmen in state Tennessee that get very frustrated with this. And we have a president that just doesn't understand the first thing about economics, the first thing about creating jobs. I think the way you create jobs is through another government program. Well, David, I'm a small businessman myself, and self-employed since I'm 24 years old. And I know what I want as a small businessman is just for government to get out of the way, leave me alone, and I'll create the jobs. But our president does not understand that.
No, no, he doesn't. Unfortunately, there seems to be quite a few others up there that don't. Now, I've got to ask you this because, you know, especially based on what you just said, you know, Tennessee has been fiscally responsible, and the federal government's not. And unfortunately, that includes some of the politicians from Tennessee. So I have to ask you how you came out in support of Lamar Alexander, as did many in Tennessee across, you know, whether you're talking or our federal delegation or within the state. So how do you mesh those two? How do you mesh your support for Lamar, who is doing, I mean, he's supporting pretty much everything, all the continuing resolutions. He hasn't done anything to put a hold on the spending. He's not a fiscal conservative. He's not a social conservative. I'm not sure that he's any kind of conservative. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he's not any kind of conservative. So you do have a conservative record overall. You're physically conservative. You're a social conservative. You've made a stand on some things. How do you justify supporting this guy?
There are a few places where I have disagreement. I don't know about. I think on this immigration issue in particular, that I don't think I would have voted for that bill. I thought I would have voted for that bill in the form that it's in now. There are a few other things like that. I think when it comes to the environment, he's a little to the left of me, to say the least. The fact that I'm still not firmly convinced that the global warming is going on, and if it is, I do believe that it's almost arrogant of us to believe that we as humans could cut back our consumption and suddenly turn around. But I don't believe that we were here when the Ice Age came down. I don't believe we were here when the dinosaur disappeared. So obviously I disagree on environmental issues, but we are good friends. And I think physically he is relatively conservative. He ran a good state when he was governor, but there are some of those issues I'm talking about there where I do disagree with him. But I got on board early with him, and I'm going to stay on board with him. It's my understanding that maybe announced tomorrow that somebody's going to run against him. So I do think it could be an interesting race this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, and hey, I have to tell you, I'm hoping that there is a viable challenger that comes forth. He's voted to confirm Sonia Sotomayor, Chuck Hagel, Kerry. You just name it. He supported him.
Yeah,
so
I just don't understand that. I really don't. And I would have a little bit different voting record for up there. But I do think he's a good man. That's where I'm going to be throughout this. There's no doubt about that. So, and he is. I think if you're around him personally, one on one, he is a great guy. He's given me some very sage advice over the years. I remember one time in particular, right after the governor's race, I ran in that and lost because of a lot of money, to be perfectly honest. I remember him telling me, Ron, rarely does someone get a chance to lose that, and you've taken that chance, take advantage of it. That's been pretty sage advice for me on that. So I understand how anybody, especially a true conservative, could be upset with him. I'm going to tell you what, I will be voting for him. What I'm proud of is what we've done in Tennessee. That's what I can control. That's what I do on a daily basis, to balance the budget here and work on things there. You know, we have the lowest tax rate for just about any state in the nation. One thing I'm most proud of here in Tennessee, Dave, is there's a George Mason University ranked all 50 states here a while back on what they called the, quote, the freest states. It was based on taxation. It was based on Second Amendment rights and other issues of regulation. And Tennessee is the third freest state in the nation. And I like to say, Dave, that we're behind South Dakota and North Dakota. So, in my opinion, we're the freest state in the nation anybody lives in. So I'm proud of that and what we've done in Tennessee. I mean, I go to South Dakota Pheasant every year, Dave. You have to hunt for a house out there. You know, they have one congressman. They're supposed to have like half a congressman. They just haven't figured out how to do that yet. But the bottom line is I try to really zero in on the things that I can control. And to be perfectly honest, Dave, back a few years ago, 2006, I had an opportunity to run for Congress. I honestly think I practically walked into it. But I have no desire to go to Washington, D.C. to be one of 435 in Congress or to be one of 100 in the U.S. Senate. And I think, feel like you'd be beating your head against the wall every day when I can sit in the legislative plaza and make more difference in people's lives on a day-to-day basis than I ever could in Washington, D.C.
Well, I don't doubt that, but I still, like I say, I still can't get my head around how you can how you can do it, but okay. We're going to definitely, we're going to agree to disagree on that one.
I understand completely. I do.
For sure. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the lone ranger on this one. You got a lot of people scratching
their head. Oh, do I ever know that? I mean, I'll see the polling out there right now that there are some that deal that true conservative can't give Lamar fits. But I do believe in the end, as I did, I ran for governor, the best I can figure, Dave, I lost my $15 million. And do I think that I'm a little more concerned than Governor Haslam? Probably. But I do think he's been a great governor. But I'm going to tell you, on most things, he's right there with us. All this. If you look at what we've done on education reform, we've done more in the last 3 years in the state of Tennessee than done in the history of our state. And I believe that by making tenure something that you earn, but not automatically given to you. Before we passed the law on tenure, 98.7% of teachers were getting tenure after their third year, and we've stopped that. We took collective bargaining away from teachers and basically broken the teacher union, and I do believe they thought more about the adults than they did about the children, and we're getting results because the governor has been right in the middle of all that. I mean, perfect. He's the one that proposed the tenure reform. The legislature did the collective bargaining. But then again, you don't get always what you want in politics. You got to weigh that out and get the best you can. And I do believe that I live 5 miles from Virginia, and I know the candidates that are running for lieutenant governor up there. And I think the one that got nominated, there is no way. I will be shocked if he wins. Yet we could have gone, instead of getting a 10 on conservative level, we could have gotten an 8 and 1. And it is about winning the election first to make sure we have the right people in the right spot. And I think we've done that in Tennessee. And on a federal level, we're heading in that direction. We do have a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, I understand that the governor has done some good things. But, you know, like I say, that's probably another one of those areas that we'll agree to disagree.
What do you think he's gone wrong, seriously, on the governor's side of that? I do think he did a lot of good things. But we don't get these accolades. We've got more manufacturing job growth in Tennessee than any state in the nation last year. We have more auto manufacturing jobs than any state in the union. And we're doing away with the death tax. That would not have happened without the governor being on board. I've been trying my best to get that done for the 20 years I've been in the legislature. But the governor's on board with 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do. I've got to take a quick break for a read, and we come back from the read. I'll throw out some of my issues, and then we're going to take some calls because the calls are starting to stack up a little bit here.
Okay, you got it. Okay.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. Listen to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're speaking to Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey. Back to our conversation. We were talking about the governor a little bit, and my issues with the governor, I mean, number one, I think he's obviously, he's not as conservative as I would like. Now, let's talk about a few specifics here. Let's talk about, and this may seem like a small thing, but to me it's not, our last guest, we were talking about the Muslim infiltration of our state, okay? We have a partnership with AMAC, the American Muslim Advisory Council, that Bill Gibbons signed on to, as did the governor, all right? Now, that was that, and then you had the appointment of Samar Ali. Well, when those things transpired last year, you had a total of about 16 county chairs, GOP county chairs, that were upset about that. And really all we got from the governor was, you guys are just a bunch of racists, you guys are just a bunch of bigots, and there's nothing wrong here. Well, I have a problem with the guy post 9/11. That does not recognize a threat. I'm not saying every Muslim is a terrorist, by no means, but there is such thing as Islamic terrorism, and he refuses to see that. So that's one of my big issues with him. I don't think that he has. I'll let you answer that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine. Okay. Okay. On that in particular, I do think, you know, the groups that we joined there, and I'm not that familiar with them, but I do think that. But I have actually met Summer Ali, and she's born and raised in Waverly County. Her dad was a general in the National Guard, or maybe a colonel in the National Guard. I do think that was much to do about that. I really do. I've talked to her personally. Her name makes it sound bad. You'd never know that she was that she is a Tennessean. She's a U.S. citizen. And I'm going to tell you, I think that for that conspiracy to make it and be true, then buddy, they must be really good, because when they planted the seed in the womb of Waverly, Tennessee, that's what I don't have a problem with. I think that was something that did get out of control. Now, do I believe
okay, look,
one
can
day
I respond to that?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay. She went to work in a bank in, if I recall correct, Amman, Jordan, that was known for Sharia-compliant finance transactions. It was under investigation when she went there. Okay, Sharia-compliant transactions are not just you don't invest in pork and you don't invest in porn. Okay, that particular bank was under investigation for funding terrorism. All right, so the fact that she was born in Tennessee, that's a moot point. Okay, the fact that she's probably a very nice person if you meet her in terms of outward appearance, I don't debate that. Okay, but ideology is the issue. That's the issue. And Sharia-compliant finance is a problem.
I do not believe in shape or fashion that there's a problem with that. I know you have a lot of listeners that disagree with that, but I've examined that issue. Now, do I believe that one day that we're going to wake up and have wonder how in the world this country got to where we are, and do I believe that I got trouble in the governor's race of saying that there is a portion of the Muslim religion that's not a religion at all? It is a cult. I said it. I still believe that there is a portion of that is. So do I still believe all that? Yes. But do I believe that Summer Ali is part of that group? I just don't. I've tried to examine it, go through there, But I could see how anybody on the outside looking in might think that. And I do believe that we are, with Al Jazeera and everything else we're talking about here, that we have a real problem in this country. We have our heads in the sand, a lot of people do, that one day that we're going to figure out, wake up, as I say, and say, how do we get to this point? But I do try to take things at face value and look through them personally and look through them closely and see where the problems are. There are problems. There's no doubt about that with some of the training facilities that may be here in this state that we've heard about, and some of the things I get briefed on by our security that I can't talk about, there are real problems. But I like to concentrate on those and not where I think there may at times be made up problems, so to speak.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a couple calls here. We've got, let me see who's been waiting. This guy's been waiting here a little while. Caller, what's your name? Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, guess not. Let's go to the next one here. Hello, caller?
Yeah, hello.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, you have Kathy on?
No, that was last hour. We got Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey. You have a question for him?
Yeah, how does it feel being a pig?
All right, we get those every now and then. Sorry about that.
Oh, I can barely hear the caller anyway, but I think I got the gist of that. Okay, Dave?
Yeah. Caller, you have a question? Caller, do you have
Hello?
A question?
Hello,
Hello?
Am I
can
on?
You hear me? Yes, you're on.
Hello?
You have a question for the governor?
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the governor, he didn't answer your question about Samir Ali and the finance in Jordan. But we have a
I really don't know about
it.
I'm not trying to avoid the question. I'm really not. I don't know about that in particular, where it goes and what the whole story
okay.
there is. And even if that's true, I don't. But let me assure you, it always amazes me that we as conservatives in particular, we don't believe anything we see on television, don't believe anything that we see in the newspaper, but we see it on the internet, it must be true. So I'm not sure that it is. I don't know anything about it. I just know what the conclusions I've come to in particular on that. But anyway, go ahead. What's your next question? What
okay.
is the question?
My next question is before the last election, when Governor Ramsey was running against President Obama, we had our state executive committee Ooh. Members in, and they told us that a Muslim and a Mormon were the same thing, were equal. And I just don't understand where they get that from. I'll hang up and listen to your reply.
Well, first I say Governor Ramsey running against Barack Obama. And I'm not sure exactly. I have no idea what he's talking about there. No idea.
Yeah.
Okay. No idea. Yeah. Oh, let me assure you, I didn't run against Barack Obama. Okay. He meant Governor Romney, because that's what he said. Okay.
Yeah.
I get where he's going
sure
now.
He
but
yeah.
I don't know anything
yeah.
about. I don't. I didn't hear anything like that. I wasn't at the executive committee meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's try one more, and then we'll go back.
Okay.
Caller, you have a question?
Hello? Oh, hey. My name is George. I'm living in New York City right now. Thanks for having me on the air.
Okay. What's your question?
My question for Governor Ramsey is if she likes anal sex.
Good Lord. All right. Whackers are out tonight. All right. Okay.
Oh, Dave, this is your typical call. We'll begin to wonder why I called in, okay?
No, these are not my typical callers by any means.
Okay.
Let's go back to what's going on inside of Tennessee in terms
absolutely.
Of and I'll let you start.
Okay, absolutely. I mean, I do my number one. What I want to do in the state of Tennessee is make Tennessee the number one state in the nation to own and operate a business. And every day when I get up as a small businessman myself, that's what we work toward. And I think if you look at what we've done in the last 3 years in the General Assembly, we've done that. We've passed a comprehensive tort reform bill that gives businesses some certainty that their product liability and other cases, when they're heard in court, what they'll be heard on there. We've actually reformed our workers' compensation now to make it more fair for the worker and the employer. And all these things are working, because you see what's been going on to create jobs in Tennessee and what's been create jobs in the Southeast. We're leading the way here in Tennessee. And then the one thing where we have been lacking, I think, Dave, is in the education field, both in K-12 and higher education. And for too long, we've let the liberals and the teachers union run our schools in the state of Tennessee, and we've truly turned the corner on that. The teachers were the only group in the state that had the right to collective bargain. And I'm one day that believes that no public employee should have the right to collective bargaining. That's something that should be for the private sector only. And we went through the same thing at about the same time when Scott Walker was eliminating collective bargaining in Wisconsin. We were doing the same thing in Tennessee, but we're not as big a union state as they are, so we didn't receive the publicity that they did. We did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, but they had the turnout now. I mean, we did have – I was up there for those rallies when we were trying to, you know, beat the teachers union on that, and they really turned out their numbers. I don't know how many of them were actually from Tennessee, but I know they turned out a lot of people. And that was – those were good reforms that were definitely needed.
Excellent reforms. And I'm going to tell you, you can see where it's working. This isn't reform for the sake of reform, and I can give you facts and figures that what's changed over the last 3 years. I mean, there are over 90,000 more 3-8 grade children who are proficient at math than were just 3 years ago. Over 50,000 are proficient at science based on our testing that we do now and did before then. We have some of the best data in the nation to compare this on. And I'm going to tell you something that concerns me, and maybe a lot of your listeners, is the whole Common Core issue that is being considered by the state of Tennessee. Where we go with there, I'm all for high standards, but if we get involved in curriculum and we get involved in things like that, then I've got a problem. So I've encouraged and instructed my education secretary of Tennessee in the state senate, Dolores Gresham. She'll be holding hearings for about 2 days. And we're going to figure out what's fact and what's fiction on this.
Yeah. Well, and I think that'll be a good, you know, people need to show up for that thing, and they need to go. You can go on the state website and do some research. You can get some information about it. Now, I do have a question for you, though, on that. And I'm not, you know, I don't know a whole lot about the Common Core. I know a little bit. But it does seem a little fishy to me that you would lay out, these are standards, not curriculum. Number one, I have a friend who's a teacher, and he tells me that they're doing the Common Core right now, they already have them, they're referring them to links for the teachers to go to these different links. I don't know what the links are because you have to be a teacher to have access to them, but it kind of seems strange to me that you would set up a standard and not provide a curriculum. And, you know, we have problems with our textbooks, but at least you can identify a problem in a textbook. If everything a teacher uses is a link, a parent's not necessarily going to know, and others are not necessarily know what's going to be, what they're getting in terms of curriculum. So that's one of my concerns.
I'm like you, Dave. I'm not an expert in this. This is something that's the reason I want to have these hearings. And not only can you go on our website and research where it is now, but these hearings will be videocast. You'll be able to go on our website and watch them live, and they'll be archived. And Senator Gresham's doing a great job. She's a very conservative lady from West Tennessee, of lining up people on both sides to talk about this, to make sure we give this a full vetting. And some of the data mining things that they're talking about, that really concerns me. But I do want to separate fact from fiction, because I do, as with anything you do in life, you know about half of it's true and about half of it's not. And I want to figure out what is true and what isn't and where we go. You know, I suspect you'll see some legislation. I've kept up with what's going on in other states, in Georgia in particular. The Georgia Governor Deal has got an executive order that he pushed down there, and I'm not a big fan of executive orders. I think they ought to pass the legislature, and they get 50 votes in the House, 17 votes in the Senate, pass it the proper way. We have a United States president right now that seems to be governing by executive order, and that's another whole subject in and of itself.
Yeah. I'm going to take another call real quick. I'm pretty sure I recognize this number, and I'd say it's a safe call.
I hope so. Is that you, Gary? You might hang up right there.
Yes, that's me. Lieutenant Governor, it's amazing how liberals will have seminal callers that call in and do vile things like that. But that's typical.
Isn't that just amazing? I mean, it really is. We sit and think, man, how would you like to go through life like that? Does that fella just hang up and say, boy, I got him really good? I mean, that amazes me that the Southern hospitality that we have, and then people do that and they think they've accomplished something. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yes, sir, but they're the typical base of the Democrat Party.
Oh, I know it.
And that's why the gloves need to come off with those people. I don't believe in that. In fact, I was in your office a couple of marches ago, and came in with two gentlemen that arranged the meeting. You remember me? I talked to you about the Islamic threat, what I had learned as an officer back in the mid-'80s, whatever, and from some really top-notch officers in the Egyptian Army and Saudi Army and that sort of thing. And that's where I'm switching back to. I'm just real sorry that those two had called in and disrupted the tone. But sir, people like me
in politics, I get used to that. No problem. It's just that you want to say a little prayer for them, Matt. Hopefully they'll.
Yes,
anyway,
sir.
We'll just stop right
they
there.
Don't understand this. They don't understand the South. They never will.
Nope.
But the thing I wanted to bring up was, and I was late getting. And I was hoping I could call in, but the bottom line is when I had that meeting with you and I showed you that documentation, what I wrote from my experience. I really believe that is the truth. And, you know, we as Americans have one major fault besides being good-natured and wanting the best for other people, and that's why we're the most charitable country on earth, is the fact that we take things at face value. And in addition to that, we try real hard to separate fact from fiction, you know. If it wouldn't stand up in the court of law, don't bring it up and all that kind of stuff. Or that's the way we are. But these people are not of that nature. And someone can be born in this country and maybe their parents don't inculcate things into them that are Americans. But when it comes to the almost what appears to be such a colonization of Islamic communities, these people come with an ideology, and they're doing it in Europe, and it's a theocracy type government life, and they, you know, even as I mentioned to you, those Egyptian officers I trained back in 1984 that I was responsible for, when we had kind of nurtured the Islamic world or the
hey, Gary, I hate to interrupt, but I'm getting up to a hard break here. Got about a minute left.
Okay, but real quick, when good guys that you really care for, and I had a really good experience with, when they say to you as they're getting back to go to Egypt, and we had trained them on our type of equipment, which they were getting out of the Soviet, they actually said, you know, we love you as a brother, Captain Lehman, but we do not know what future Allah will bring. But if we see you on a battle, yell your name, Lehman, 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 three times, and we'll push you aside and kill all those around you. Now, these are good men. The thing is that Islamic jihadist thing is real for them. And they just wait for someone to tell them to lead the way. And that's true. And that's what concerns me about
Islam. There's no doubt about that. I know we're up against a hard break right here. I'll be glad to talk about it when we come back. I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't disagree with you at all like that. We'll come back to the break. We'll talk about that, Dave, okay?
All right. Sir. Hey, thank you very much. Thank you, Gary.
And okay.
Finish up the break, and we'll be right back. You listen to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, here on Conservative Nation Media. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. And we're going to take a real quick commercial break here, and we will be right back on Inside Tennessee.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey of the great state of Tennessee. Governor,
First of all, Dave, I was going to join Merle Haggard there. I thought you'd come back from the break, man. Turned 21 in prison doing life without parole, but anyway, you don't want to hear me sing, okay? But anyway, I'm a huge country music fan, the old country music, like Merle Haggard and John Conley and George Jones and Conway Twitty. I grew up in the 70s, and I'm convinced, Dave, that whether it's in country music or even in the rock and roll music with the Three Dog Night and the Eagles and all that group, Marshall Tucker Band and all those, that's the best time ever for country, for music of both kinds.
Well, you know what? We're going to agree 100% on that one, all right?
I'm telling you, man.
No argument there.
I mean, when George Jones passed away, I talked to his wife, Nancy, a couple of times. And they don't make it any better than that bunch right there. And Merle Haggard, in particular, is turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you there.
No, I agree. you want to respond to the last caller?
Okay, yeah. No, there's most that I do not disagree with. I do not. I do think that the Muslims that are coming in the country are using our Constitution against us, and the fact that they can hide behind the liberal interpretation of the Constitution with the freedom of religion when it's arguably whether a portion of that is a religion or not. They use our basic goodness that we have here in the United States. We're just basically good people and want to believe the best in people. Maybe not that one caller that called in, but the others want to believe the best in people. And they use that against us. And I'm not arguing any of that at all. I'm not. And as a matter of fact, I do get briefed on by our security people in Tennessee about what's going on in the state. There's no doubt any of that's going on, and we're having to catch a little bit of time. But I do believe that sometimes we get off on tangents, like Summer Ali in particular, and don't look at the big picture. And I'm afraid that sometimes that they'll use that against us. So let's look at the big picture, what's going on here, and how we can protect that. And I do believe that. I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you this, and I won't talk any more about this. But AMAC, does that not concern you that
yes,
Department
absolutely.
Of Homeland Security?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not arguing that at all. And so,
I mean, to be honest with you, that is a bigger issue.
I've had some discussion with some fellow people about that. That bothers me. It does. That once again, because I think that is an example of where they're using our basic goodness or our naivety, whatever word you want to use, against us, and I've had some blunt discussions with that, but it's not something I want to talk about on talk radio right now, to be honest.
Other than to say
that's a problem. That is a real problem.
Yep.
So let's concentrate on those types of things instead of where, in my opinion at least, there aren't problems in some areas, but sometimes you get caught up on the details and miss the big picture, and that's what I'm trying to look at. I'm 100% agree with that caller that the infiltration is something that all of us. I mean, we really do. You want to believe the best in people. That's just the way I'm made. That's the way I'm wired. And you want to think that everybody's like you are, and they're not. They're not.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that one day, as I've mentioned before, that we're going to wake up and say, "How did we get to this point?" I hope it won't be too late when that time comes.
Yeah. Take another call, and then we're going to go to a different topic.
Okay.
Caller, can you hear me? Do you have a question? Okay, guess not.
They're hanging up on us, Dave. Is that me? Do they normally do that, or just me?
No, it varies. I mean, it's just internet radio. I mean, that's just, you know, unfortunately, that's the way it happens sometimes. Let's try another one here. Caller, you have a question? Okay, well. I guess not. All right.
No problem.
What's on the agenda for the upcoming session? And let me ask you this. What's on the agenda in terms of pushing back against big government, against the federal government? I mean, you know, I think that's one of the things for us to get our country turned around, the states have to stand up. There's no way around that. States have to stand up. And I'm not talking a civil war here. I'm talking about states standing up for the 10th Amendment.
You're exactly right. That was a big part of my governor's race when I ran, and it is pushing back on the federal government. And I do think with the whole Obamacare, I mean, that is one place where I think I can't describe how bad that it is. We've even seen some liberal newspapers. I was looking at Drudge today, the Chicago Tribune, getting an editorial that maybe we ought to just draw a line in the sand, stop, and start over. But we're way past that. Maybe there's a couple of companies that are cutting all their employees to 29 and a half hours. So they don't have to pay for the health insurance. And the one thing that I think would really break us as a state if we bought into this, it's just not going to work. So that's one of the first places. I do believe, Dave, that one day the well-run states like the Tennessees and like the Texas, and honestly the states that usually have Republican governors, one day, soon, and maybe in the Barack Obama administration, are going to be asked to bail out the Detroits, bail out the Illinois, bail out the California. And I think that's when you really see everybody stand up and say, "Whoa, that's enough. We've been fiscally responsible. We've made our retirement plans that are well funded. We're not broke like these other states, and we're not going to do this." And you're right; it's not going to be a quote civil war, but I do think the time is coming where the saving grace of this country is going to be states like Tennessee standing up to the federal government saying we're not taking this anymore. And that's one reason the Common Core plays into this. We want to make sure that anything that we're doing, but it was not established by the federal government, it was the Republican Governors Association, but still, the Department of Education on a federal level will get 2% funding and 20% of our regulation. And we're looking at that right now. We are, to make sure that we don't want to be, out from under that.
Right.
The one thing
right.
I want to talk about, too, because I know down is the whole Second Amendment issue, because I may have been the champion of all time on Second Amendment issues. I was the one that carried the bill for gun carry permits. I've carried bills to keep firearms companies being sued by cities and counties, et cetera. And this last year, I thought we passed a very good bill, and I still believe it was, that does allow gun carry permit holders to keep a firearm in your car no matter where you go, including your workplace. And we had the Chambers of Commerce and other people pushing back on us. Now, let me tell you my logic behind this. I love to do this on talk shows like this where I can do it unfiltered through the media. We are a right-to-work state. You know, we were an at-will state. If you're an employer in the state of Tennessee, you can call an employee in tomorrow and say, I no longer need your services, and they're gone. But there's a lot of statutory case law that you can't fire somebody for something that's constitutional or statutorily legal. You don't get me wrong, you can call them in tomorrow and say, we no longer need your services. Don't give a reason. And that's the reason that I like the bill that we passed that allows you to keep your gun in your car, and in my opinion, the employer can't fire you because of that. Now, the Attorney General, and I disagree with him on this and lots of other things, said that an employer can. I just don't think that's right. And so what's going to happen next year? We're going to come back with a bill that gives a special right to gun carry permit holders at work to say that they cannot fire you for that. And I'm going to vote for it. I'll be there. But I have a real problem nicking away at our right to work and at-will state. And that'll be the only protected class that I know of. And so then I'm an employer. I employ 4 or 5 people. And if I have a bad employee and I decide to let them go, they can say, well, you fired me because I had a gun in my car. And I can say, no, I didn't. Then I have to prove that I did. And that's the reason I had a bill of putting that into law. And I think we passed a good bill. The Attorney General sure has muddied the water on that issue. Anyway,
well, now, I think here's the thing, that my vehicle is also my personal property, okay?
Absolutely.
And, you know, for an employer to be able to deny you the right to defend yourself to and from work, because that's what he's doing when he doesn't allow you to bring it. You got to have some sort of balance there, and I think that's a little extreme that you can't bring it, you can't keep it in your vehicle.
I'm 100% with you on that, Dave. I will tell you, I struggle with that issue, Dave, because I'm a huge property rights person, too. I mean, my office there in Bluffville, I bought it, I'm paying for it, I pay the taxes, it's mine. And therefore, I should have the right to say what you can or can't bring into the building. But it's mine, I paid for it. I mean, I wasn't even for outlawed smoking in restaurants, because the restaurant owner owns it, it's his. You don't like it, don't eat there. Go to another restaurant. And so, but the bottom line is, just like you say, your car is your personal property. And it basically has the same rights of search and seizure as your home. As long as you keep it in your car, you should have the right to take it wherever you want to. Now, that's how I justified that in my mind. And we passed the bill last year that I helped draft. And now the Attorney General has buddied the water to say that an employer can fire you for doing it. I don't think they can. I think if that was challenging court, that would be wrong. But that's where we are now because of that opinion.
Yeah. I've got to take a real quick 30-second break, and then we'll be right back. This is just a quick read, so it shouldn't take but a second.
Okay.
Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on Conservative Nation Media for the Christopher Manti Show at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show is to readily be called eponymous. Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey, and we're going to take a call real quick. Hopefully we'll have better reception than what we did on the earlier calls here. Caller, do you have a question for the governor? Hello?
Hello, Dave. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. You have a question?
Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. You have a question?
No, Dave, this is Jerry Williams. I'm just calling to
Hey, Jerry.
Lieutenant. Yeah, just wanted to thank the Lieutenant Governor for coming on our show. I hope he'll come back and join us again, bring us up to date on what's going on in Tennessee. Also, I'd like to take an opportunity again to remind our listeners Wednesday morning at the Plaza, 8:30, the State's Rights Committee. We need to get there and back those folks so they don't disappear on us. And if you can possibly be there, be there. And thanks again, Lieutenant Governor, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoyed it. I really did. Just like the whole gun issue you were talking about right there. If I have to, everything I do, if it's filtered through the liberal media, then I have problems with it. That's the reason I love talk shows, and I'm not afraid to give my opinion on just about anything. And so I love doing these type shows. I really do.
Well, we sure appreciate it. And those idiots that call in, they just show us what they are. They don't intimidate us at all.
It really is. I mean, seriously, you think about going through life that bitter and that, you know, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I got the best wife, the best kids. Life couldn't be better, and God's been good to me, and I try to appreciate that. And those people like that, it's pitiful. It really is.
Yeah. They're fooling themselves.
Thank you.
Jerry, thanks for calling
in. Governor, I hope you'll join us again. And Dave, thank you. You're doing a great job there.
Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you. Just want to touch there on what Jerry just was talking about. You may have heard it called the Balance of Powers Committee, which, Governor Ramsey, I think you know something about this because you had a hand in it.
Just a little bit, yes. I pointed it.
And the Balance, which the actual proper name, if I remember right, is the Joint Legislative Review Committee, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, we talk about the federal government not – recognizing, we talk about Obama not recognizing any end to his power and any end to federal power, any legitimate end of it. It just seems to be, you know, you can do what you want. Unfortunately, I think there might be a few in our state government that seem to think that way too. We had a little issue back in the session when Senate Bill 250, which had to do with firearms, it also had to do with state sovereignty, was brought up, and the Judiciary Chair Brian Kelsey made a statement that, you know, the 10th Amendment doesn't apply to the Supremacy Clause. And essentially, the Supremacy Clause trumps the 10th Amendment. And I would think that that's not something that you would agree with.
We had a little talk after that. Let's just put it that way. And we decided that maybe the best way to do it was address it by this committee where we come back with some recommendations last time. And Brian, the chairman of the judiciary, he's a bright young man. He's really sharp attorney, good conservative attorney. But he and I on some constitutional issues, and he is an attorney and I'm not, but we disagree on some of those types of things. But overall, I think Brian is doing a great job as chairman. But and keep in mind, this is his first year, too, and there's a little learning curve there for him. And he'll tell you this, too, no big deal, that I called him in and said, look, you are the chairman, but you aren't the dictator. I mean, you have to get 5 votes on the committee to do some of the things you've been trying to do by executive order, so to speak, and it doesn't work that way. But he'll learn. He's, like I say, he's a young guy, probably less than 35 years old, and just sharp as a tack when it comes to education issues, when it comes to other issues. But he'll get there. With on this one in particular, we do disagree. No doubt disagree. We've talked about that. So, but I'm looking forward to see what they come up with.
Yeah, well, now, I imagine you're going to be there for the first meeting this Wednesday at 8:30, 9 o'clock in room 16.
I can't be there. I've got a little grandson who's having a little fuel health problems, and I'm going to be in Knoxville on Wednesday with my wife, my daughter, and my son-in-law, so I can't be there.
Well, we hope for the best for that situation. And, hey, but I can tell you right now, I tell you how I see things, but I can tell you this, that the conservatives in the state are very happy about this committee. We see it as very necessary to highlight the federal abuses, especially where it relates to passing the cost on. You know, we do a good job with our budget, and now this is other stuff the federal government is putting on our plate to cover.
And so that committee is greatly appreciated. But now everybody that's listening, it'll only be as good as we make it. We have to show up in numbers and we have to stay engaged.
Please do. I encourage that.
I've got to take a real quick break here, and we'll be right back, and we'll take a few calls. You're listening Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Radio. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car. Which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think I'll blue tape my house. My truck at home because
silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we have Lieutenant Governor Ron Ramsey from the great state of Tennessee on the line with us. And we're going to go to a call real quick. We've got this is a commercial call, you could say, and then we'll try to get in some other local callers. We've got about 10 minutes left. Barbara, are you with us?
I am. How's it going? Good show.
Well, thank you.
I can't log into the chat. There's something up with my computer. I think they're watching me, but that's okay. there's other ways around it. Anyway, for Women Patriots tomorrow, we do have John Stevens, who's the author of Sissification of America, and he'll be talking to us about his book, and the book is really good. It's funny, and it's true how America is just dumbed down. And we're also going to talk about the overpasses for Obama's impeachment follow-up as to what happened on last Saturday. And we also have Karen Sigmund, who is from Rage Against the Media, and they have their shindig out in California on Saturday as well. So she's going to come and talk to us and tell us what happened out there, because Department of Homeland Security was trying to keep them a little less noisy because the Muslims were praying on the other side of the federal building. Exactly. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say about that. So join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio, conservativenationradio.org, at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central. Thank you.
Sounds great, Barb. Thank you much.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Little cross-advertisement there. Going to take another caller real quick. Yuri, you have a question?
Oh, yes. Is that me again?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, I just want to say this, and, you know, I was on earlier, and apologize for those hard guys that came on, but I know that right now I speak for a lot of retired military officers and retired military and even people coming out of the military. I think the fact that Congress has got about 80% never served in uniform, and I think, I don't know to what degree that might affect the legislature, and I'm not saying you have to wear a uniform to be a patriot, but I took an oath. And I had boyhood dreams when the draft came along and I decided to join the Marines in 1971 in the lottery. But I made a career out of the military. And that oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, it always stuck with me, especially when you re-enlist people or recruit people and that sort of thing. What I'm trying to say is this. We are an upset group in this country, and we don't have a voice. And, you know, there are several times that the good Lord stepped in, otherwise my mother and dad would have gone to a funeral. But it didn't happen. It could have. And I have to think that I justify my being by being an American, a Tennessean, and that the Bill of Rights matters. And I wish, I really do wish, that same sense of duty and loyalty to the state constitution and the United States Constitution, especially where it has to do with the rights of the people and the rights of the state, were foremost, and that the man in the White House would be told that direct by governors instead of looking like assistant managers in a store. There is no power in D.C., except what the people give them, and our states are sovereign, and those of us that wore the uniform, and we're no better than the American that hasn't, okay? We just like to know, did we do it in vain or not? Is that Constitution, does it not matter? We're the only military in the entire world that I know of that we're sworn to a document and not to a people in leadership. And I just want to bring that up because I think the sobering moment needs to be there for everyone that's listening. Those sacrifices are for something that's very good and very American, and that's individual liberty. And the states are sovereign, and nobody has the right to bring burdens on us because we are the people who are the government, and everyone that does anything for our cause are there as representatives and leaders. And there is only one governor. The President of the United States does not govern this country. He's an executive of the law of the land and what is important to governance, but the governor is the only governor. And I quit at that point, sir, and that's what I wanted to mind.
Thank you, Gary. Well, I'm going to give you the last couple of minutes there, Governor Ramsey. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to turn it back over to you. And
okay. That's been an interesting show. And I do think you have a lot of people in the state legislature now that are citizens of the legislature that are there for the right reason, make a lot of sacrifices, be away from their home, and the way we run this state, both not only with the fiscal responsibility that we have, and all we're balancing budgets that are smaller and cutting taxes in the meantime, we are pushing back on the federal government where we can. I do think that it's going to come to a head soon on how much and the fact that we are sovereign states. There's no doubt about that. And I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to cut the size of government we have, and we have and getting out on time. I think that's very important. The fact that we've had, before the Democrats had a majority in the state House and the state Senate, we were staying into June and into July. There was no sense in that. That cost taxpayers about $1 million a month for every month we're down here on per diem and staff. So we got out last year in April. I think it was Howard Baker that said the worst thing that ever happened to Congress was when they put air conditioning in the Capitol building. And my goal is to get out next year in Nashville before we have to turn the air conditioning on, and we'll all be better off
the sooner we're out, the better off every citizen of the state of Tennessee is. So, again, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on this show. It's always a learning process, wherever show we go on. I enjoy doing this job, but I also realize that we all do get our powers from the Constitution. The Constitution is what we all need to stand up for. And I just finished the book, Dave, when I was at the beach a couple of weeks ago. I don't know why I hadn't read this before, The Greatest Generation.
Got about 15 seconds left.
and I've loved it. So thank you, Dave, for allowing me to be on the show.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate you coming on. And I hope you'll come back. Hope we didn't scare you off. Hey, find the governor some boots to meet the feds at the border, huh?
You got it. Okay, man.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Have a good one.